Welcome to a Tuesday morning on the biggest, baddest sports talk radio station in the Southeast. Not everybody gets to be on a signal that's 110,000 watts from Macon to Augusta, from Fayetteville to Lake Oconee, from, I don't know, Valdosta to Brookhaven.
Phoenix City, Alabama.
Have you ever seen the skit of people when they first moved to Massachusetts trying to get people to pronounce the names of some of these towns? Like Worcester.
Oh, yeah.
Worcester. you know where Tom Glavin is from?
Yes.
Do you know the name of the town?
I don't. Mm-mm.
Billerica. Uh-huh. But for people who aren't from New England, it's Billerica. like when you live somewhere, I'm trying to think of our towns here.
Dacula, yeah. Dacula,
yes.
Dracula, Dacula.
Right.
I mean,
yeah,
you name
exactly.
it. There's so many.
So many.
Yes.
So there's a whole thing.
Oconee, Oconee.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
hey, I'm
all
going
of
up
it.
To some to some event at Oconee.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, you mean like Oconee? Yeah. So it's funny.
Start with the high school names. McEachern.
Yeah,
I mean, a lot of them are hard.
Yeah. Aaron.
Aaron. Yes.
The one skit, which everybody knows, the Key and Peele skit, my kids started laughing at that. So when Bobby was 4 and Nola was 8 and Sophie was 10, we could put on that Key and Peele skit.
So good.
And it was absolutely a crazy. I think maybe it was the first thing in our lives, the 5 of us all could laugh simultaneously at the same level.
That's awesome.
Right?
And you know, when I remember that show, I don't think people were watching it in real time.
Yeah.
It was one of those phenomenal shows that you went and found.
You watch
them now.
And
you can go to the YouTubes and it's
great. And you're
great.
Like, how friggin' good are Key and Peele?
Oh, my God.
Like, how
I miss them.
Talented.
Yes.
Like, one skit after another.
You yeah. see
the Obama skit? When he's got the black guys. Hey, yo, man, what's up? How you doing, dog? How you doing? Yeah, I see. And he goes right down the line.
Oh.
They are so friggin' talented,
yeah,
those two.
Yeah, I miss them.
And then he goes on to become an unbelievable director for some of the great horror films in history. Anyways, we digress. Good morning. I haven't seen Sandra since Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Last I saw her, we were in the middle of 4 hours every morning. We did 4 hours Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday together. Had a blast. Although I was a little bit hobbled one of those days with a stupid back thing that I was keeled over, but feeling better. And then I
was Key and Peeled over.
Yeah. And then we had Rusty here Friday, and you
so
were
good.
Headed up to the lake. And then you were headed to your first trip ever to Augusta National and the Masters.
I am in awe, and I will remain in awe of the whole experience. It was perfect. It is beautiful. Everything you've heard. But what y'all didn't talk about that I wasn't aware of the efficiency. So if Chick-fil-A, Disney World, and the ladies that run the bathrooms at the Fox all got together and said, this is how we're going to run Augusta, it was precision. It is perfect from the parking to the getting off the exit. You don't really touch your wallet that much. I couldn't get over the concessions. The tomato pie is perfect. The white wine just sitting there.
Could get over just how affordable. Like $1.50.
Affordable. Everything is delicious.
Easy. How about this?
Every single human in there is lovely and nice. I do agree with the internet that said, why can't we have our phones in our pocket more? The fact that no one's on their phone and you're just talking to everybody. You know, you're standing at these. They have those stand-up tables all around where you're eating, and you just share space, and you're meeting people, and you're talking. I sat next to Russell Wilson for probably 30 minutes at the 16th hole. So that was another thing I learned. All those chairs that are set up, the people that are in charge say, pick a chair and sit unless they come by. Like, because you're saving that. If you've come in at 8 a.m. and put your seat down at 16,
yeah.
You're not coming till whenever, whatever golf you're following.
Oh, I didn't know that. So I absolutely knew that's your chair for the day. It's
right.
Common, the courtesy of you got here first, you lay down your chair, it has your name on it.
And no one's touching it. There's your purses there, all the stuff you bought at the gift shop. No one's touching anything.
But you're allowed to sit
so
in
not
it
only,
until
they
come.
Say, we don't want you standing here. So please take a chair, go right ahead,
wow.
Enjoy, unless the patron returns.
And then
returns.
If you come up and say, that happens to be my chair.
You just say, oh, perfect, I'll choose another one. So I look over, and Russell Wilson's sitting next to me.
Yeah.
And was quiet. The other thing I learned is all these celebrities that are there, they're not allowed this team of security. So Roger Federer is walking next to whomever. You're a patron. You just look over, and there's celebrities. They are not allowed.
To bring your team in.
There is no team. It's you and your buddy.
You got to get badges. Yeah. So was Roger Federer really there?
Roger Federer was there.
Wow.
J.J. Watt was there. Russell Wilson was there. And the more that I spoke to great people, and I just can't say it enough.
So for the things that are important to you.
And by the way, I am not a golf fan. I raised my hand. I wanted to go and see the whole thing. And Larry, my husband, was amazing to navigate where we were. We saw every single golfer. We parked ourselves on 10 for the last, I don't know, from 3 to 5. So then the big names are coming through, and incredible, incredible hospitality. And it was just beautiful and perfect. It was really something.
You know, I think about your mom specifically, who, you know, taught you the ideals of take the high road, there's less traffic up there, teach you manners, how you're supposed to treat people, the Southern way of things, ideally what the South does best, certainly, certainly better than the Northeast, to have civility and try to be kind to people. And that's really with the richest, most famous members on planet Earth are the members of Augusta. Yet, they also say, we are as strict about manners and how you treat people from the lowest level person that works on that facility to the billionaires that try to walk through there that are not members. The rules are the same. Like, you are going to be more than civil. You're going to be gracious. I told you what the rules are for the green jacket folks. Your only job during the week is make sure every single person that comes to our golf course has the best time.
Right.
That is absolutely
so Archie Manning
care.
Was sitting
the
at
hospitality.
One of the hospitality
yes.
A+. And that's why I bring up the Chick-fil-A and the Disney. Your experience when you, hi, how are you? Every single, the gift shop, the whole thing, everybody's just
yes.
great. So I bring up Archie Manning, who was sitting, you would have never, it was known it was him. And then there was a guy with a green jacket that just was like, hey, can I get you anything? You know, here's
right.
some water. Here's,
yes.
I just have a bucket
the
of water.
The guy with the green jacket.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the member.
Yeah.
The member who probably is a titan of industry somewhere in the world, maybe here in Atlanta. And his job is literally to do that.
Yeah.
You need water. Anything that the patrons need, give it to them.
Yeah.
Put it at their disposal.
The amount of women that are there.
Dressed to the nines, a lot of them.
Dressed. The amount of kids that are there. Very few. The ones that are there were the most well-behaved young people and respectful. And the bathrooms are, you know, every time somebody comes out of one of the stalls in the women's room, there's someone there to clean it. And can I get you anything? And here's a paper towel. I just can't say enough. It was really, really something. And then to sit Sunday.
Oh, my God. That was
then,
the greatest.
But having been there, and then I can now put it in my head what was happening. It was
how much
phenomenal.
Did you enjoy from 2 p.m. till 7 p.m. on Sunday in terms of watching that whole thing?
I was so stressed and emotionally involved. It's crazy.
Yeah, we were talking. I was joking yesterday. We went to a party. I don't know if you saw the video. My buddy had ordered on Gold Belly all the Master stuff. So we had all the food from Augusta, all of it. And we're like, oh, it'll be fun afternoon. But unfortunately, this tournament kind of sucks. Like, Rory's up 7 on Justin Rose. He's DeChambeau is imploding. Like, this is like a Tiger back nine. And then you're like, dude, he just went in the drink. Like, dude, he just bogeyed. Justin Rose just, like, it was so fast that the next three
if
and a
Justin
half.
If Justin Rose would have made 2 putts on Saturday, he's
no
a
doubt.
Winner. So, but he, I mean, it was really, really something.
That was amazing finish, and we'll talk about the numbers later on and everything else. All right, we got some stuff to get to. Let's do our 9 at 9.
12.7 million viewers on average. It peaked from 7 to 7:15 p.m. Eastern time with close to 20 million. It was 19.5.
Yeah, that's a crazy golf number.
Yeah,
that's
it is.
A crazy golf number. Almost 20 million. You know, you want to look at the rest of the country, the world, right, Sandra? And we want to flex our muscles in Atlanta because Augusta is kind of Atlanta. I mean, it's built in our culture, right? We know where folks are headed on a Wednesday to the par three, and we know about, you know, the rental properties and the companies from Atlanta and everything else. And it's like, you're adorable, the British Open. What do they call it? The Open Championship. You're adorable, the U.S. Open. You're adorable, the players. Those are sweet. There's
this
nothing even close.
Yeah.
You know, in tennis, it's U.S. Open in Wimbledon, the Australian and the French. And you could argue they're equal, right? Because I would say nighttime at the U.S. Open is nothing's better except Wimbledon, middle of summer, right? But there's nothing close on the majors in golf.
Yeah, I totally agree. I'm really impressed. Braves win. Also impressed. 8-4. It was 8-0 through five, you guys. Grant Holmes have a night. Saved our bullpen. God bless him. Goes 7 2/3. And if Aaron Bummer could have got somebody out, he wouldn't have got charged for those runs. The story, the home run. Austin Riley, two of them. Five RBI. Sean Murphy, a two-run homer in the first. So your starting pitcher getting a little run support. I think that was so important for Grant Holmes.
Yeah, Marcell Ozuna gets sent home. From where
Tampa.
Were we? Tampa. I look at the lineup. It's Fairchild. It's De La Cruz. It's Eli Wolf. It's, obviously Orlando Arcia. And you're like, well, it's Sean Murphy in the four hole. And I looked at the odds, and the Braves were a little bit of a favorite. And I called my buddy. I said, I got to understand.
Yeah, why
what does Vegas
happening?
Know this? Yeah. And I was like, yeah. They are begging you to take Toronto.
You ain't kidding.
They're begging you. And then you look up, it's 8-0 Braves. I was like, they know, they just understand stuff. So really needed win. If they can get one of the next two, you come home 2 out of 3. And then you got the Minnesota Twins in town that should be a spectacular
weekend.
I like
to call the next two the Spencer Specials. Take two of them. Schwellenbach goes tonight. Spencer Strider goes tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Hawks at the Magic tonight, 7:30. They win, and game one is in Boston on Sunday. They lose. They play here Friday night, the winner of that Chicago-Miami game.
Yeah, you got it. Very simple.
Okay.
Orlando going to be a tough game for sure. The Magic in the 7-hole. Hawks in the 8-hole. But in the spectrum of games, Trae Young has won on the road in the playoffs. This would not be at the top. So they're absolutely a winnable game. And I get the sense that folks would love to see a Boston-Atlanta one more time. We've had a number of them over the years. The Trae Young shot 2 years ago that won, I think it was game five. The famous seven-game series back in the day with Kevin Garnett and Zaza Pachulia. The brand that is the Celtics, which is the biggest brand in basketball right now. I think it'll be a fun series regardless.
Bigger than Lakers?
I mean,
fair enough. Quickly, let me mention tonight, if you want to see some great baseball, two of the best college baseball teams in the country, it is Georgia Tech and it is Georgia, and they're playing at Truist, you guys, at 7 o'clock. So if you want to go down tonight, I think that's really, really cool. And congrats to the Atlanta Dream at 18. They get a great, great player, former South Carolina guard, Deanna Popow. She is beautiful. She shot 47% from three last year. Wow. I think we got a great, great player. She was projected to go super high, so that's really good that the Dream got her.
Wow.
Yeah,
WNBA
talk. Paige Buckets, of course, goes overall.
Paige Beckers. Yes.
Buckets.
Paige Buckets. Oh, good for you. Coming out of a cannon, like big time. All right, when we come back, there's no other topic that is more important than this one. Our friend Wiley Ballard is taking over the world or the internet. Why? Some people don't have a sense of humor, but most everybody else knows one of the great moments in a Braves broadcast. We will explain. Also hear a little bit from, Quinn Snyder coming up, more Braves, all kinds of stuff. Sports Radio 929 The Game. Didn't have that on my bingo card. Sean Murphy coming right out of the gate for the Braves. Let's just say the stock on Murph was not high last year or so, feeling like, the reputation, they wasn't a great hitting, but a great defensive player, but not a great hitter. And then last year's numbers, 2 years ago, number may be an aberration. And boy, does he look dialed in with those glasses. I mean, maybe it is something that is real.
He can see. Also, he got hit on his forearm pretty good, I believe his third at bat last night, so I hope he's going to be okay. Hit him right real close to that elbow, kind of lower, high forearm. Hope he's going to be okay. Saw him walking in. They showed a cutaway yesterday with him and Eddie Perez, the bullpen coach, catcher's coach. Amazing. Like laughing and so much energy. Like he looks, his body language looks like a different person.
So we lose 7 straight. We come home and win 10-0, right? We were 1-7. Then we lose to the Marlins on Saturday. That made us 1-8. Remember that 4-0 game where you didn't get anything
That's
going?
That's right, yep.
And then on the Sunday, I think we got a...
You lost to Tampa.
Well, no, I'm talking about... I know this last time. I'm talking about the whole year.
Oh, God.
I started 0-7, and then you have...
They haven't won back-to-back games. Win, loss. So tonight, literally, they're looking for their first opportunity of the season to win back-to-back games.
Yeah, you took two out of
Crazy.
Three. You took two out of three from Philly and felt a little better... Because of that crazy 2-hour and 45-minute rain delay, of which Ozuna steps up. But then you go to Tampa and you get whipped in game one and game three, to Sandra's point. You win the middle game, you get beat again. You win this one. Can you now put two wins together back to back?
Right.
As the Braves desperately need a couple of guys whose names you know. And I'm not talking about De La Cruz or Eli White or Fairchild.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about those guys. I'm talking about Austin Riley, and so is Brian Snicker.
He's that kind of guy, and we've seen, like you said, we've seen him get on those runs, and it's going to be really, really good. So hopefully he's on the verge of doing that again. And you know what? Matt's had some really good at-bats, too. I'm really encouraged the last couple of days with him. And, you know, so we get, you know, two or three guys clicking, then it's going to be a whole different ballgame.
That is the only
way. A two-run
way.
Home run and a three-run home run from Austin.
Yeah, that's the way we start to look like the Braves that we're used to. Matt Olson, you know, and Austin Riley, and Ozzie Albies, even more than Sean Murphy. I know Murph's hitting fourth now, and everything's moved around because of Ozuna, right? But I'm talking about the guys that you expect. Matt Olson, Austin Riley, Ozzie Albies, to carry this team.
You ain't kidding.
You know that Kelnick is who he is. I know you think I'm hard on him. But you just that's not a, you know, if he gives you something, Fairchild or Wolf, whatever, you need the guys in the middle of the order. If Austin Riley gets hot, he can carry you through April and May. Same thing with Olson. Same thing with Ozzie. Get Acuna back. But he got to win two in a row. I mean, like, that's what I was saying about seven games under 500. It is such a mountain to climb. Unless you're a great baseball team, and we're not a great baseball team. Now, maybe we will be with Spencer Strider in stride, with Chris Sale getting deeper in the summer, with Ronald Acuna back in the lineup, and then the Braves rolling into town. You go, oh, that's a great baseball team. We're not a great baseball team. You don't play Fairchild, Wolf, De La Cruz, you know, listen, Grant Holmes is awesome. You don't think he's going to give you that, but you're not a great baseball team yet, which is why being seven games under, it's a grind right now, and it's going to be a grind for two more nights. And then you got the Twins in town, real good team, playoff-type team. So it is just going to be a grind. That's why you need guys in the middle of the order to make it happen, right?
We need if you look at Chris Sale's numbers with run support, he's had basically zero.
Yeah.
So I think he's playing from advantage. That's why I brought it up about Grant Holmes last night. For him to have that lead, it was 4-0 before I could finish my baked potato at supper.
Oh, yeah.
So that was real good.
But I mean,
run support, and Austin Riley said it afterwards. He goes, this is what we do. This is what we're capable of.
There's a lot of good starts for Chris Sale coming up as well. Even though he hasn't had run support, he hasn't been the Chris Sale that we were used to. The other great thing that happened last night, in an era where we all take ourselves too seriously, too intense. I said yesterday with Drew, I don't know if you heard, we're not here to talk about tariffs.
We're not
here to you know, berate each other with our political ideology on either side of, you know, the left or right.
Mm-hmm.
We're here to do 2 hours about Rory McIlroy. God knows we did yesterday. I mean, we got in the weeds.
It's good, though. I loved it. I think most people, if you were ever going to do it, that was the day of passionate golf.
And you know me well enough to say, I think I'm just going to lean in all.
I thought Billy Andrade was so good, kind of giving us when he and Drew started talking like.
I know. Did you hear me just back off?
You know
hey,
your
he
role.
He drew that on 8, and they threw that, and they flopped it on 11. And
I thought he was
going
to go with a 7-iron, and you didn't. He went with. I was like, ooh,
let me
stay over here.
So
with my tomato pie.
We're trying to just, you know, enjoy what we do. And what better example than last night, who already is fast becoming one of the most beloved probably since Sandra was doing sidelines for the Braves. Oh, not so long ago, right?
100 years ago.
Wiley Ballard at the tippy top.
It's called the Jay's Nest in the Rogers Center, and it is at basically the sky. It really is. It's way, way up there.
So he's up there, and he's chatting it up with two ladies. I mean, he's up there because of what the view is. It's hard even to see him. Like, the camera's even grainy because he's so high up. And he didn't seek these girls out. He seeked out that location because he's bouncing all over the ballpark. They just happen to be very attractive, two attractive young ladies. He's an attractive young man. He's a single young man. Mm-hmm. And here's what ensues.
All right, so they want me to get your number.
They want you to get my number.
I'm dead serious. They're saying in my ear right now, she doesn't believe me because she thinks you guys are not. I'm making this up. Even if you guys weren't, I might use that in the future. That's actually a pretty good move.
This is unbelievable.
So the best part of this right now is that Wiley could totally be faking it. This might be the new move. Okay. Just walk around with a FanDuel microphone and an earpiece in and convince fans that they're actually on TV.
I should have thought of this years ago.
I am speechless.
I got the number. We're good.
So literally they cut back. She has his phone, and she is plugging in her phone number. Now, there was a 45-second interview prior, which I don't have to play the whole thing for you, where he's like, are you guys Braves fans, and how long have you been coming? And she says, I come once a year. I'm not necessarily a Braves fan. I just like to come to the games one time a year. And mm-hmm. the typical sideline stuff. And then they go back to the pitch, and they go back to Wiley, and they go back to the pitch, they go back to Wiley. At some point, Wiley says,
CJ and Brandon get the 100% assist here.
They get the
giggles.
They
were perfection. And Gretchen, who's in the truck, they would get a hit and go right back up. So this went on now 2-3 minutes.
I didn't say take my shot. Someone like, I'm going to hang here or whatever.
Yep.
And they're, They cut back finally, and she has his phone, and she is plugging in the phone number.
Yep. So then while some more of this is going on, and CJ and Brandon are talking, so then the wink comes. So Wiley realizes he's on camera and does this the most subtle wink as if to say, I'm the man. And it was – you want to talk about a beloved young man because he doesn't take himself too seriously. You guys, he's in on the joke. No one was doing anything out of line, in my opinion. I thought it was great. Don't talk to me about journalism. When you also go ask the guy to go try the snow cone that has ketchup and mustard in it and sample food. Like, he's entertaining, y'all. That's what he's supposed to be doing. I don't know why some of these people are getting so upset. Men and women, relax.
I would have a really hard time being friends with anybody that this upset, right? I mean, there are some folks, this isn't professional. Saw some reporters say, I've been in this business, this doesn't elevate our journalism.
Journalism!
Like, this was so friggin' entertaining. And any Karens, what's the male version of a Karen? Is there a
term? That's a great question.
That take themselves so seriously that wasn't absolutely entertained. Baseball games are boring.
Kevin.
They're slow.
Kevin and Karen.
Okay, thank you.
I just
love right?
them.
404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. You had folks on your Twitter that weren't happy on some level?
Came after me because I was like, that was as good as Sean Murphy's home run. That whole bit with Wiley, that was brilliant, you guys. I really enjoyed it. And also, I believe Brandon Gaudin slipped a little ballpark treat in there. So the hashtag ballpark treats going around, and everybody's in on the joke. But somebody, of course, has to come back and say, well, would Aaron Andrews say something, or journalism, Kelsey, would they be allowed to do that? And I was in my head, I'm like, what? God, good for you if you got some digits, girl.
Hey, Braves.
So I said, get a sense of humor, like, back off. And then, Stake, anybody who's listening to us is likely not that person anyway, because we don't.
Yeah, no, I'm just curious how much they enjoyed it, right?
Yeah.
So, some great stuff out there. Dylan Harper saying, Braves reporter Wiley Barrett just got a girl's number live during the game. This has to be the best moment of a rough season so far. Shout out to BJ and CJ for the wingman.
Great.
Hold this up. Might be a new Riz tactic. Riz, of course, the term for being smooth. But the photos of him just...
Y'all, it's on. It was trending on Twitter. It's made Awful Announcement, which is a national site.
Yeah, Awful Announcement's a huge site.
And they're telling him to get in touch with Pat McAfee, so he's going to be everywhere today. Like, this is the stuff that Today Show loves and Good Morning America.
I would think he'll be on McAfee
today.
Oh,
and he's so sweet and adorable.
And he treats people incredibly kind, right?
Yeah, oh, he's terrific. I used to work with him, and he's lovely. And he is the superstar reporter for the Braves, period. Yep.
He's the guy. All right, when we come back, Dan Lanning, always interesting, always close to Georgia, talks about the toughest.
He's on that podcast you love, the Bussin' with the Boys, so he's very relaxed.
Toughest interview of his life. Also, Notre Dame comes into the modern era, and the new villain in college football. Sandy has a bunch of stuff on the tailgate. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We push things I learned till later in the show. There's a bit of a controversy with the Shapiros.
Uh-oh.
Mom and son. And normally me and my mom are thick as thieves, but I'll share with you how I got myself in hot water.
Uh-oh.
Even in your 50s, you can, you know, have to be careful with mom. So I'll explain that later on. The Atlanta Hawks have they don't call it a playoff game. They call it a play-in game because you're not in the playoffs. You're on the outside of the playoffs. But you have a game that's not single elimination, but double elimination this week. The Heat and the Bulls have a single elimination game tomorrow. If you lose, you're out. So that's something that we're all working through.
I've got an interesting Twitter from our friend Andrew Hill. I want to win tonight, but I also have no interest in playing the Celtics in the first round. Where do you stand with this? Like, it'll be nice to get them in, and we got a little fun down at State Farm, right? I'm okay with that.
Yeah, we play the Cavs if we lose, and then we beat Chicago or Miami, then we're the 8th seed.
Mm-hmm.
In that case, we'll play the Cavaliers. More gravitas to play the Celtics.
Mm-hmm.
Either one, we are going to be prohibitive underdogs.
Okay.
We're going to be prohibitive underdogs.
Mm-hmm.
Also tonight, Memphis plays Golden State. The winner is in the playoffs. The loser in the West then has to play the winner of Dallas and Sacramento. So Dallas is a 9 or 10. Sacramento is a 9 or 10, Sandra. That's tomorrow.
Okay.
So Anthony Davis could still end up in the playoffs, which would be kind of interesting. They're going to have to win two games. And then Golden State, by virtue of the way their season played out at the end, they have to get some dubs with Jimmy Butler and Steph Curry and all that just to get in the playoffs. So, you know, the big thing everybody's talking about in the NBA is Anthony Edwards and the T-Wolves, very legit, went to the Western Finals last year playing Luka Doncic and LeBron in the very first round. So that's where there is definitely some intrigue there. So we'll get you updated on that. We'll talk more about kind of some stuff on the fallout of Rory McIlroy and the numbers and the interest in that. That's coming up after 10 o'clock. Sandra asked me some great
questions. I want to share this little story before we get into the tailgate. I just put it on Twitter because we want to give love to our locals here at our Waffle House. So we were on 10 and sitting there for a long, long time, and there was a group of gentlemen that I want to say mid-50s, 60. One was maybe 70. There was four of them from Scotland.
Mm.
And they planned this trip, and they were going to go play maybe half a dozen courses all over Georgia. He started naming the finest courses ever.
Very cool.
And they landed Tuesday night because it was his birthday. They found a Waffle House. Well, when I tell you we were sitting there at the Masters, and he is talking up Waffle House like nobody's business, how much fun they had. They let him behind to take pictures, and then they wanted some gear. And for whatever reason, they were kind of out of gear to sell. So the manager on duty goes back, finds everything he can with Waffle House on it, including like a hat that says associate, and just handed it to them. And that's what they were bragging about. And I said, gosh, if the corporate people are listening, isn't that exactly the message that want customers to walk away with? It was the greatest experience ever at Waffle House.
It is amazing if you add Augusta to the brands of hospitality, Augusta National, Chick-fil-A, Waffle House, how friendly those folks are. Just some of the brands that are Atlanta, Delta Airlines, level of of superiority to every other airline, and just all this way that we look at, again, I would argue the South and Southern hospitality, and just the mindset you're supposed to have. When you're in the right Waffle House, I mean, it truly is like family. When folks have been there, everybody has their Waffle House. Everybody has their waiter or waitress over the years. And then when it's clicking at a Waffle House, they've done everything right. So, so it was like a tourist attraction to them. Like,
oh, my God. They couldn't wait to go and to hear them in their Scottish accent tell me about what they ordered. I just sat there with such joy in my life. Yeah.
All right.
And it was Shane Lowry. We're pronouncing it wrong because they were big Shane Lowry fans. Yes.
Yeah.
It was great.
Very tight with Rory, by the way. The biggest hug was right when he came.
And the second biggest hug was none other than the wife of Justin Rose. Like, they are very, very tight.
Yeah,
so y'all that thought that was Rory's wife at the end, it was not. That was Justin Rose's wife saying, "You deserve this. I'm so happy for you." Elegance, I'm telling you, all of them. Justin Rose is just an elegant gentleman.
Yeah, I liked him on Full Swing. You learn all about Justin Rose and his family.
So nice.
He's waiting to get the call about the Ryder Cup, which comes, and he doesn't get put on the team, right?
Justin was on the team.
When he gets the phone... So when Justin...
Keegan Bradley didn't get...
No, I know that, too, but Justin Rose was the year before. Regardless, you see him on Full Swing, him and his whole family.
So lovely.
All right, let's get to the tailgate.
Okay. You start looking around college football right now and name, like, your top four or five guys, like a guy's guy. Kirby's up there. Dan Lanning might be too.
He's a man's
right?
man.
Right? Don't you think?
Like,
he's
very, very close.
Just a little bit of a bad A,
very,
for sure, badass.
Very, very close to Kirby Smart.
Exactly right.
I mean, he pays a lot of homage to Kirby Smart.
Yeah. And this interview, which I really think you guys will like, this particular clip was 10 minutes and change, so it's certainly doable on the YouTubes. Bussin' with the Boys, which is, they have a lot of great athletes and guests on that thing, but they talked about Dan Lanning's kind of rise to stardom here, and Dan was all about giving advice to you guys that want to be, even in like high school or junior high school coaching ranks, of get in front of people that do more, do more than expected, that long and winding road. Well, if you look at his resume, he was worked under Mike Norvell, he's worked under Saban, he's worked under Kirby, and that is why he has skyrocketed up. This particular quote is when he is now a defensive backs coach and the recruiting coordinator at Sam Houston State. So he's now married, and he's got, I believe, three kids at this time, so he's needing to make a little money, and he applies to go be an analyst at Alabama with Nick Saban.
But to sit there with Coach Saban and he's asking you questions about your philosophy on punt protection, that's not something I had dialed up ready. You know, I had my thoughts and I shared them, but you got to meet with everybody in the organization, from position coaches to administrative staff. You know, I thought they did a really good job of being meticulous in that process, getting feedback from everybody in the building. What'd you think of this guy? So it's a lot of fun. I still got the voicemail saved on my phone today of Coach Saban calling and, saying, "Hey, give me a call back." It was him offering me the job.
So he's kind of thinking, well, I'm just going to go take this quick little interview. And he was talking about how many people they even interviewed. He said dozens of people with the pedigree to get in that building in Tuscaloosa.
I mean, it's no different than trying to pursue a law degree, at Yale Law School or Harvard,
right?
I mean, only a select few. If you get that opportunity, it is a fast track to big jobs and big money and big opportunity. Anybody in the Alabama or Georgia coaching staff these days, or Texas, it's the same thing if you're a bench coach for Mike Krzyzewski.
Exactly right.
If you're a GA or you're in the Bama program close to Saban, which allows him to pick the cream of the crop, and pay them nothing.
Pay them nothing and you'll like it. Well, that was he was saying, to have to make those sacrifices. I just thought it's really good, and I want to highly recommend it to all y'all. I think you'll really, really enjoy it all. Couple of news
and
notes.
Did you ever hear, were you the one that told me about the Kelce's broadcast last week
With Scott Van Pelt.
Yes.
Yeah. Did you listen?
No, my sister-in-law, Kate, did and said it was awesome.
It is so good.
So is that another Sandy recommendation?
In the Heights, Scott Van Pelt is phenomenal. Okay. A couple of weeks ago, I forget the guest, but that's on my absolute dial through. Great, because it moves quickly, and they're funny. And
you have long rides. Why do they have to move so quick? Everything with you is about how fast it is.
Hey, now.
Just let it settle in. Sorry.
Two things. I listened to you and Drew talk about the G-Day game and all, and I did listen to Kirby's post-game presser. Are you guys okay with this thing going away? Because if I had to read in between the lines, I just think this spring game is over, y'all.
I'm okay because I could care less. I'm not going to the game. It doesn't matter to me. I don't think it's necessarily going away. The way it used to be done, yes. The crowd attendance, by the way, are no factors. What was it, 5,000 people at Oklahoma? But I think there's still coaches that want to put you in the stadium and simulate gameplay and see where you are at the end of spring.
Right.
Now,
right.
Is that the same iteration as it's been when you had 50, 60,000 and it felt like almost like your 13th game was playing each other? So I think it'll evolve. I think some schools will do away with it. But I think in places like Georgia, it's a reward.
I also think Rusty made such a great point about Kirby wants to control the time, that they were able to get all that whole game in, what, under an hour or 2 hours? It was crazy.
Good. 2 hours.
2 hours. There we go.
Yeah, so, 84 pass plays, so yeah. He definitely wanted to work on throwing the ball.
Right. I did not know this, but the Fighting Irish, Notre Dame, they only had alcohol sales at the big sporting events in premium seats. On Friday, they announced they will now open it up to the entire stadiums in football, in basketball, in anywhere there's a crowd. So okay. They must be looking at the bottom line. Isn't that kind of surprising that a big university like, I mean, I know it's a religious university, but.
Anybody that is not maximizing revenue, they're looking at payroll for basketball and football, and they're saying, we're Irish, we need money, let's sell beer.
Exactly right.
That was a smart decision.
I'm about to talk about Reese Davis, but I didn't hear you guys bring this up. Did you realize that big noon show on Fox was doing everything they could to get Reese Davis away from College Game Day? And it was almost happening, and then at the last minute, ESPN made a bigger money. I'm guessing it was bigger money to stay.
Reese Davis's agent.
Yeah.
Must be a really happy man.
I'm not kidding.
Thought that bringing him over was a key, right?
Exactly right.
That's the one with Matt Leinart, Urban Meyer, etc.
Yeah.
Who's the point person on the show that would have been replaced?
Can I tell you, I have never watched that show, and shame on me because
You're not a Big Ten fan,
right? And I just love College Game Day, everything about it. Have you ever watched it?
I flip over. It's my job. I'm a journalist.
Journalist! You haven't either. I thought it was interesting. This past Saturday, he was interviewing, and he said he has a theory about Arch Manning and his pedigree and the behind the Quinn Ewers, the whole deal, that he will be college football's biggest villain, that Texas is going to be the team that you hate. And he said, I don't mean just Oklahoma people. He said, I believe that Arch Manning is going to be that guy for Texas. He will be the biggest villain, that Texas, he thinks Texas is going to roll through the SEC and rock on, and that it's going to be Arch Manning.
How did that work out last year? I don't think the Mannings are hateable, period. There's not anybody in the family, even Archie, who Falcon fans aren't fond of because of his affiliation with the Saints. Peyton, Eli, Cooper, Manning. Arch, the way he handled sitting for 2 years, so I don't necessarily see it.
Those who are not predisposed to like him, whether they are a Texas fan or they like the Mannings or they like the Manning cast or whatever, they just feel like it's too much too soon. They're going to root against him.
Okay. Manning overexposure.
Eli was also at the Masters. And then last but not least, Colorado announces they are going to retire the jerseys of both Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter. Your thoughts?
I mean, I don't know. 2 years is long enough, right? They've both been there for 2 years. So what's the criteria for getting your number retired? What do you have to bring them?
There's seven total. This will make nine, I believe.
I got to see the other guys.
I don't know, y'all. I feel there. I can argue on both sides of it because it's a game changer that Deion is there. And these two guys, you know who they are after just 2 years. You
made a big commitment to come to Colorado, put them back on the map. They were the worst team in Division I A college football. Obviously, you know, being in the absolute height of national exposure. So I don't have a problem with it.
Right. Rob Stone is the host for the Big Noon Kickoff.
Say what? Rob Stone.
Rob Stone.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, Rob Stone.
Mark Ingram, Matt Leinart, Brady Quinn, Urban Meyer.
Brady Quinn does a good job. I can't stand Urban Meyer.
Tom Rinaldi's
I like
on
Matt
that thing.
Yeah, Rinaldi left ESPN to go to Fox. Mm-hmm. And I believe, where does our buddy the Bear?
That's him. Chris Felica is there as with the Fox.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. So they stole him and Rinaldi away mm-hmm. from game day.
Yep.
So clearly Fox obsessed with poking the bear over a game day and taking their guys.
Go after the number one gig. I totally don't.
So Rinaldi and Bear over there. All mm-hmm. right, that's the tailgate on Sports Radio Nighttime. Again, it's funny, my buddy called me. I haven't seen him. We had a conference call on Sundays with my closest friends, and he's some dude who's traveling, big wig, and he's like, are we going to see each other? Like, when are we going to make this a priority? And he said, well, my son lives in New York and is dating a girl that went to Texas. And she's the biggest Texas football fan ever. So I want to come in for Texas, Georgia. And I said, you know all that money you've been making over the last 20 years? Be ready to spend it. Because I'm telling you now. He's like, we need like 6 tickets. I was like, that's adorable. Whatever you paid for your son to go to college, be ready to pay that for the weekend. Whether you are in Atlanta, getting a house in Athens.
Get a house at Reynolds in Lake Oconee, you guys. It's 45 minutes away. You can stay on the water.
Okay, but I think he's going to stay in Atlanta and we're going to get a Sprinter van or something like that. I'm going to stay at the lake? We're buddies. So either we're going to be in Athens or we're going to, nothing against the lake, but we're going to be one or the other is what I'm saying.
But I'm schlepping back to your house and where it is. That's a good two and a half hours on game day.
No.
Yeah, it is.
On game coming back, you mean?
Oh, my God, yeah.
It's going to be a night game. Well, it's not, the big myth about Athens, getting there is not usually a problem depending when you leave.
Yeah.
Because most people are there. You go like within 4 hours of game time, you're usually fine. It's getting out of there.
Whew.
Right? But think of what people are going to be paying for Texas, Georgia. And the date's not even announced yet, right? We don't know the date on Ole Miss. Right. We don't know the date on Bama. We don't know the date on Texas. I said, it's good. I told him, it's a good thing you're very wealthy because you're going to need every bit of that wealth to attend Texas, Georgia the way you would like to.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
All right. Is that...
We have the dates. We don't have the times.
Okay. Yeah, it'll be the night game. What's the date on it?
Oh, please.
Texas, Georgia. That's right. They had the SEC mm-hmm. releasing of the schedule. Hey, top of the hour when we come back.
November 15th.
How much conversation truly happens on a golf course when it's not Bryson DeChambeau and Rory McIlroy? We'll tell you more. Sports Radio 99.